Hey, Aaron, I got a question for you.
Yeah, what's that?
Who would you say is your favorite DC female superhero who also happens to have an invisible jet?
Wow. Well, she would definitely have to be from the Amazon, and I would want her to be the leader of the Amazon. So if you were, she would be an Amazon Prime. So I would have to say Wonder Woman would be my favorite.
Amazon Prime, Aaron. That's amazing that you just happened to drop that reference. It's incredible.
Uncanny.
Because Cinema Geekly has sold out to Amazon, as a matter of fact.
What you say?
Yeah, that's true. Amazon Prime.
Yeah, we're old school Amazon backers.
Amazon Prime, they've got a sweet deal going on with us, specifically, right now, and you don't actually have to spend anything, and you can help us out. There's a banner on top of CinemaGeekly.com. You click it. It takes you to where you can start a free trial for 1 month with Amazon Prime. If you sign up for that, Amazon sends us money. How cool is that? They send us money to help with our server costs and bandwidth and all of that internet bullshit. And it doesn't cost you anything to do the free trial. You get it for a month. If you love it, spend $79 and enjoy it for a year, because I am never not subscribing again to Amazon Prime, just because it has literally been that helpful. We buy a lot of stuff from Amazon, and I like watching television. So take money away from a giant corporation.
Right.
Cinema Geekly Podcast, episode 58. I'm Anthony Lewis.
I'm Aaron De La Osa.
I'm Glenn Beauvais.
I'm Cody Kelly.
Thanks for checking us out on CinemaGeekly.com and on Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, and Tumblr, running down the week that were in the movies and the TVs. It's actually the last couple of weeks, because we didn't get an episode out last week. Scheduling conflicts and whatnot, it didn't happen. But we're just jam-packed with all sorts of ridiculous news for this week, and I know Aaron is just overflowing right now, because he hasn't been on the podcast in weeks, and he has just got so much to talk about, and we're going to try to touch on as much of it as humanly possible.
Jesse, by God, Eisenberg. Jesus Christ.
I'm burying the lead here, and I want to talk about that later. Normally, they're like, let's not bury the lead, and let's talk about the big news. No, fuck it, we're burying it. We're going to make people listen to this podcast all the way through.
That's right, motherfuckers.
To get to the juicy, the nougat on the inside. Aaron, way back when, near the end of January, there were these rumors circulating about Ben Affleck and his continued role in the Batman versus Superman movie. Has there been anything to substantiate this since, or to just completely say it's untrue? Basically, the rumors were that he was having some sort of conflict with the writers or something, I want to say.
Yeah, apparently he thought the script sucked and he wanted to be able to go in and fix it a little bit, but they weren't going to allow him to do so. So, I mean, the latest thing, like, all I can pretty much find out about is that, you know, if the stories turn out to be true, expect in, like, you know, a couple of months there to be some sort of a scheduling conflict where they're pushing up the date of that, you know, his heartfelt project he wanted to direct for the studio, to where that'll be pushed up a lot, and he'll just walk away due to that, so it doesn't look like there was a big falling out over, like, a piece of shit script. Or, you know, they'll just proceed as is.
They'll work it out, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, either, you know, it's a work, or, you know, it's legit. I mean, it's 50-50 right now, as far as I can tell.
So, a rumor to be taken with a grain of salt for the time being.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that sounds fine to me. Thoughts, sir, on classy Peter fucking Capaldi and his doctor costume, as it were, revealed. I don't even know if you can really call it a costume, because the doctors don't really wear costumes anymore. They wear really swank ass suits and shit now. Thoughts on how great Peter Capaldi looks in his promo shots.
Love it. I absolutely love it. It was not as foppish as Matt Smith, and a little more dressy than Tennant. Definitely a step above Christopher Eccleston. I mean, I'm just curious. The real question in everybody's mind, I think, is what color his Sonic is going to be.
Yeah, and of course, there's a small contingent of fans that were thoroughly unhappy to see that there were no vegetables attached to his jacket collar. Unfortunately, no celery. I personally was hoping for a cucumber. I'm a big cucumber fan, but no, I'm just gonna rag on Peter Davidson's doctor for as long as humanly possible. What were they thinking, Aaron? Is there some story behind the celery? I need to know this.
I have no idea. Like, I mean, that might be a little bit beyond my depth, actually, of Doctor Who knowledge. I'm not sure why the celery came about. If that was just something that Davison thought was just going to be like, yeah, well, you know, what the hell?
That's quirky.
Yeah, essentially.
I'm putting a vegetable on my clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. This image you posted, Aaron, near the end of January. Tom Hiddleston screen testing for Thor. My God, this image you posted. I love Tom Hiddleston. Cody, Glenn, did you guys see this image?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Tom Hiddleston. Love him. I don't think I could have taken Tom Hiddleston as Thor seriously looking at this image. He's a tremendous actor, but
absolutely.
And then
yeah, they definitely would have bulked him up. Like, you know, I think have been like, you know, sort of Thorsorexic.
Yeah.
Bada boom.
I mean, he looked like Spicoli. I mean, he looked like a stoner almost in this image.
Yeah.
He had a very, like, whoa, what? You know, look on his face.
He's like a vegan Thor. Just very toned down and ripped. No, like there was another image of him actually like with Mjolnir, you know, in his hand, and he's all shirtless and, you know, all shredded. But he wasn't like, you know, hulking or anything. I think if he definitely got the role, they could have bulked him up like what they did for Hemsworth. But, you know, I think him getting Loki was just, an accident that was destined to happen.
Couldn't be better. Yeah. And
no, absolutely not.
And
they
apparently,
could not,
go
picked
ahead.
A better guy.
Yeah, absolutely. No arguments there. At all, Glenn. I don't know, man. What's your? Having seen these images now, did they make the right casting choice?
Yeah, because I agree with Cody. He looks like a stoner. Like it looks like they're doing a reboot for Bill and Ted. That's what he looks like with his jacket. It's his jacket and like
the face,
the hair, and his
moment.
Face. Like
they couldn't have picked a worse screen grab. I don't think.
Yeah. But Mr. Hand, yeah,
you dick. But you'll be able to watch it. Apparently, it's going to be included on the Dark World Blu-ray.
Yep,
that's coming out in a couple of weeks. Apparently, you're going to get to watch him screen test for the part of Thor.
Absolutely,
that'll be very interesting. Glenn, I believe, in an attempt to perhaps mock us, Aaron. Showed us that the Sci-Fi Expo that he's going to is in fact selling a Sci-Fi Expo TARDIS mug that I'm guessing is exclusive to this con that you were attending.
Yep.
Thanks for rubbing that in our. Thanks for the. Yes, we know, Glenn. We're not going to be there. We're aware of this. You're not going to. I'm sure you're going to sling your arm around Karen Gillan though for us. I'm sure of this.
Oh, I'm sure I'm going to pony up some money for that photo op. Yeah.
Just to further rub it in our faces, I think is what this is. Is just Glenn is just very—he's a vicious person, Aaron. And
what you got to do is get super aggressive with it and give her like a pair of those Cinema Geekly panties.
Shit.
Like as you go in to put your arm under for the picture, just subtly drop them on her lap and wink, and just have the picture just be her expression trying to figure out what the hell just happened.
Oh. I mean, and then, of course,
followed by security.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but you know what? There's no such thing as bad press, man. Cash era. Controversy creates cash.
Yeah, just film it as you're being thrown out, for sure. That'll be great. We'll throw that up on the YouTube channel.
I'll pay for the panties myself if that goes down. I'll tell you that.
I didn't know if she packed any. I was just trying to be nice, guys. Yeah, that would have been good.
There you go.
Chris Pratt, he's got a busy year this year. He's got a lot going on. He's obviously he's in the Lego movie that's looking more and more enjoyable the more and more footage I see from it. He's doing the voice work for the lead character in there. And obviously he's got the lead in Guardians of the Galaxy, which is also coming out this summer. And it was just announced he's going to, I believe, the lead in the Jurassic World film as well, the fourth Jurassic Park movie. Obviously, it's hard to comment on what we think of the casting choice because we don't really know a whole lot about the movie, really. But, you know, I like Chris Pratt. Everything I've seen him in, and obviously he can do comedy and he can do drama as well, and he can balance the two of them fairly well together. And he seems really enthused about this movie. In the interview he was giving for E! Online, he basically said that Jurassic Park was his Star Wars when he was growing up. Like, that was his shit at the movie theater. He said he saw all of the movies, which does in fact require an awful lot of courage. I was trying to think of determination, perhaps, but no, it's really courage, especially the third movie. I don't know. Thoughts and opinions on Chris Pratt breaking out this year?
Love him.
Cody, are you looking forward to yet another Jurassic Park film?
Yeah, I guess so. The third one, I probably enjoy the third one more than most people do. I mean, it wasn't great, but I still had fun with it, and I didn't even see it until like 5 years after it was made.
Okay, well, I was gonna say you've got history on your side as well. You've gotten basically you watched it at a point where everything has been said about that movie that can possibly be said. Probably well past the point it deserves. So when you watch it, you're like, oh, well, it's not that fucking bad.
Yeah, I enjoyed it enough.
But Glenn, that dinosaur had a cell phone in his stomach and you could hear it. That's terrible filmmaking. I'm sorry.
It's Joe Johnston. He doesn't really have that great of a track record. Yes. Right. Yes, I did enjoy the montage film that was Captain America.
Yeah. Oh, suck a dick.
But the Wolfman is not good. And it's just Rocket Man is not, or the Rocketeer. The Rocketeer is, you know, it's quirky in its own way. But I'm excited for it because, like Chris Pratt said, this was his Star Wars. Jurassic Park is my Star Wars as well. Like, that is like, man, when I was a little kid and that first came out, that's the first movie I've ever seen. That and Top Gun. Like, those are my childhood memories.
Did you actually just put Top Gun as your Star Wars?
No, it's not my Star Wars. Like the movies I remember seeing as a child, because I saw Jurassic Park. It came out when I was 2, but I saw it when I was 3. And that, you know, that movie, Top Gun, and Forrest Gump, those are like the 3 movies I remember seeing first as a child.
And 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Exactly. Fucking Meatloaf. And so, like, and like I said, you know, he's really setting himself up nicely with having 2, you know, cornerstone franchises under his belt. A lot of it just hinges on how Guardians is received. I mean, obviously Jurassic Park's going to make money, but, you know, it could be a difference between making Man of Steel money or Dark Knight money.
Right.
And I think that's what's a lot up to grabs is getting hype. You know, Jennifer Lawrence set herself, I think I put it in there, you know, think about Jennifer Lawrence. She set herself up with kind of a supporting role in X-Men and then gets, a leading role in the Hunger Games series. So she has 2 franchises, one that she doesn't have to carry the weight of the film, but her presence doesn't hurt it.
Right.
And one where she has to carry it. So he's on a good path. I mean, he definitely, I'm glad that he's kind of sporadic in his choosings. He kind of, you know, I wasn't expecting him to be in Her, and he was awesome in it. So he just, I'm good. Glad for him. I'm happy for him.
Yeah,
Zero Dark 32, man. He was awesome in that.
Yeah, he was really good. Him and Joel Egerton.
Yeah, it's gonna be. I'm looking forward to it as well. I mean, I didn't like. I thought the Jurassic Park movies kind of got, progressively worse as they went on.
Yeah.
And I don't think Jurassic Park 3. I mean, I own Jurassic Park 3. It's not the worst movie I've ever seen in my life, and there's definitely shit to enjoy in there for sure. But that being said, you know, the next Jurassic Park movie can really only go up from there. They would have to work really hard for it to be a worse movie. I don't think they're going to be, because it seems like they're really intent on re-energizing the franchise, and I'm thinking they're going to want to put some time and some effort into this. So, okay, so I know everybody was shitting their pants about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, and you still might want to shit your pants about it. We haven't seen it yet, obviously. Yes, Michael Bay is involved. Yes, Megan Fox will try to act in the movie. These are all terrible things that we can all agree on that will happen in relation to this Ninja Turtles movie. But I'm guessing these are what? Some of the scale models that I'm guessing they're using for the CG appeared. And these things look great, I think. I think they look fucking tremendous. I'm wondering what you guys are thinking about it. Mainly the one we posted on the Facebook page is the close-up shot they had of Leonardo. But there's a couple of the other turtles, I think, and a shot of Shredder as well, whom it looked like they put about 9 million sharp objects on.
Yeah, he looks just like the Super Shredder from the second one.
Yeah, TMNT 2, yeah. So let's go around the table. Aaron, what did you think of the look, man? Looks good, or how are you feeling?
Yeah, love it. Absolutely love it. I love how each turtle's kind of different. You know, they each have different gear. Like Donatello has like some kind of goggles on. Michelangelo's a little smaller. You know, Raphael's, you know, bigger and, you know, got more meat to him and all that. Yeah, it's they're making them all unique, but by keeping them all, you know, the same little bit with a different kind of samurai gears and all that. I'm into it.
Yeah, Cody, what do you think, man?
I think they look pretty cool. I haven't seen the Shredder picture yet, so I'm gonna have to check that out. Mm-hmm. But the ones I saw, they look pretty good. Definitely step up from the old movies.
So Glenn, has this alleviated any fear about this movie, or do you just are like, okay, well, the turtles look okay, but
the robots looked okay in Transformers also. I'll just put that out there.
yeah. CG is something that Michael Bay doesn't struggle with.
Right.
So, I'm not surprised that they look awesome. I just, it's, you know, if it's as good as the first Transformers movie, I'll be happy. You know, right. There's nothing special about the first one, but, you know, it's solid. It's okay. It's not bad. You know, it's a popcorn flick. Yep. And, you know, if this one's just as good and they eat pizza and they kick some ass, that's what I want, you know.
Right. So. I will be happy with this. And if Megan Fox doesn't say very much, so much the better. Like maybe early in the film, Shredder will punch her in the throat and she will be unable to talk the rest of the movie, and they'll just build it as part of the plot. That would be fantastic. I would be totally for it. By the way, I like what you were what you guys were mentioning too about how the I like their gear, and it's all very haphazardly thrown together and shit. Like his wrist guards are kind of like tied on with cloth and shit. Like it looks great. At least the turtles look awesome. So there is at least that. People will be able to walk away from this movie and be like, they'll get to walk away like people walked away from episode one and be like, well, that lightsaber fight was cool. You will get that. You will get that at least. The turtles will look cool and the action stuff will probably be awesome. So you will at least get that. And for some people, that'll be good enough for them too. So Aaron, it's been a little bit. We haven't had a chance to really talk about it. Give us your thoughts on what's been going on with and everybody else is obviously free to join in as well, but your thoughts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Arrow, what's been going on both of those shows. Because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is kind of actually on a small hiatus after they came back from a small hiatus. But they also made some announcements regarding some of their announcing a character going forward as well. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on how that's been going since they've returned from the winter break.
You know, it just like any other Joss Whedon show, I mean, obviously it's going to be a slow burn into character development, you know, and things of that nature. So it's definitely picking up speed now that we're getting into the show, hash out the characters. Now that we know what went on with Coulson, we know that Deathlok is coming along. He's going to be, you know, the guy Mike and all that. We know that, you know, spoiler, Star is some sort of has some sort of superpowers, and that also kind of leads me to believe that she is going to be some sort of a mutant. But since Sony owns all the mutants, or Fox owns all the mutant stuff,
right,
essentially everybody who's a mutant in the Marvel universe will be an Inhuman.
Right. They'll be able to say mutant.
No, but they'll be Inhuman. I think that'll come out a little more into light. for the Avengers 2 with Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. You know, instead of them being, mutants, they'll be inhuman. So, I mean, they're really opening up to a lot of the deeper kind of lore of Marvel, like the stuff that really gets interesting to me, like the more kind of sci-fi-ish aspect of it. So I don't have any complaints about where the show's going so far. And Arrow has just been amazing. Mm-hmm. The more they're starting to open up and involve other characters from that world, you know, they're bringing in Talia al Ghul here very soon. I mean, they tease Solomon Grundy. You've got Deathstroke. I mean, holy shit! It's can't wait. It's the past few years have just been an amazing time to be people like-minded like us, just nerds. I mean, you know, and there's no really forecasted slowing down coming along. So, you know, good time to be us.
Reading about the Deathlock thing too. I think they also mentioned that Sif is going to be appearing in an episode.
Yeah,
as well.
Sif is going to be. She has a cameo in one kind of. Yeah, I know.
The more the more Sif, the better. I say, Cody, are you caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I don't really watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
My God, man,
motherfucker.
Okay, then Aaron, I gotta go back to you. What were your thoughts on how they handled the? What were your thoughts on how they handled the story Blizzard. with Coulson? No, I was curious about how they handled the story with Coulson. Was it what you were expecting? Was it not what you were expecting? Did you like it? Did you not like it?
It wasn't what I was expecting. I mean, I was really thinking that'd be a good way for them to tap into the more mystical side, like maybe tease like Doctor Strange where he retrieved Coulson's soul, you know, something along those lines. But the way they went with it to show that, you know, no matter what level you are, no matter how you think you know, important you are to S.H.I.E.L.D., they don't give a fuck about you, so they're going to do whatever the hell they want. I mean, they're really setting up to where, you know, the rumors we've been hearing that S.H.I.E.L.D. may be not as good as what they appear to be in Captain America 2, so they're already laying the groundwork for that. I mean, so it's goddamn, it's getting exciting. I mean, and all this could very well lead to maybe after Avengers 2, like, you know, eventually like a civil war where, you know, the Superhero Registration Act. I mean, there's so mm-hmm. many things they could go towards. I mean, but my balls are just vibrating like every day. I'm just so excited about, you know, the possibilities.
Either way, Clark Gregg, I think we can agree, phenomenal. Was awesome in that particular episode as well, as he is in every episode. But in that episode,
he puts on a clinic like every yeah. fucking week, man. The guy has no weak spots. Love him.
He's great. Cody, how have you been enjoying Arrow? Because I know you're watching that shit for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's been really good. They've been doing a lot of the teasing stuff. I was really surprised that they didn't go a little bit more in depth with about Barry Allen when they came back from the mid-season break or whatever. They just kind of mentioned him in one line. And
how's that Barry guy doing? He's in a coma. Okay.
Yeah, and then that was it. And then they haven't mentioned him since.
Presumably, when they start the Flash TV show, I'm guessing it'll start with him waking up from his coma, presumably.
Yeah, probably something like that. And like Aaron said, they're bringing in – they're not calling her Talia. They're calling her Nisa or Nissa or something like that. It's supposed to be like a different
right.
daughter.
Right.
Ra's al Ghul, which is cool. They're going to do something with that. It kind of seems like a weird storyline they're doing. Where like they're making her and Black Canary from the preview I saw like they're lesbians or something.
Tremendous.
So maybe we'll get some fun stuff with that. But
and the Huntress,
the biggest thing
back,
for me for the show has been the all the Deathstroke stuff.
Yeah, that's all been great.
Which at first I was worried about just because of how much they changed that character, but the show is so good that it doesn't even really bother me anymore.
Right. And Manu Bennett, man, I mean, the guy is just solid. Like, you can't, you know, I was a little concerned about his casting, but, you know, the more they're letting him kind of do his thing and, you know.
They've had a lot of great villains on this show, like,
yeah.
really, really well fleshed out and well played and everything. And that is the one thing, obviously, Aaron, you mentioned it. You hit the nail on the head when you're talking about the Joss Whedon style of storytelling, which we've joked in the past may be the reason why some of his shows have not lasted particularly long, despite being, you know, either, you know, ranging from really solid to, you know, excellent. That's all the hate I see for this show is, why can't you be more like Arrow? They've got superheroes on that show every goddamn week. Right. And I think that's what, you know, but, you know,
go back to the first season. There wasn't shit the entire first season.
No, not really. No. But that's not to say it wasn't bad either. It was
no, no. I loved it too. But yeah, there was, you know, there wasn't one super person.
No, there was just Green Arrow, and that was pretty much it, more or less. But yeah, the I hear those complaints too. But at the same time, it's like you got to be reasonable. I mean, they're not going to get Robert Downey Jr. to appear on a TV show. It's not going to happen. These TV shows have budgets. RDJ's cameo alone would be like half a season of shows. It's just not gonna work. You know, I just don't see that happening. I mean, they're gonna get Sif in. You know, the show acts as a background for the larger stuff that is happening.
Yep.
That doesn't mean it can't be a good show. It can definitely still be a good show on its own, and I think it is. But I think people are misunderstanding its place in the universe. I think people are seeing it as like, oh, it's got to be right up there with the movies and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's got to be kind of, you know, I think they're aiming for it to be, you know, the thing that fills in the blanks between the movies and things like that.
It's kind of like, it's like your geek foreplay before you get to slap your nerd hog in the hole.
Right.
You need a little bit of nipple tweakage before you can get everything going. So once summertime hits, that's when we can really start rounding third. But until then, you know,
right.
Just play it slow, guys.
You know, but TV's a business too. And if the ratings start staggering for that show a little bit and they think the viewership is dropping off, you know, we'll see how invested in the show Marvel really is, because you never know. I mean, maybe they'll freak out and be like, no, we have to keep this show on. Next week, Thor is going to be in the whole fucking episode. So you never know.
And why not have fucking Jeremy Renner just come in just for like, you know, 15 minutes of an episode? I mean, shit, he can't, you know, he seems really committed to the role and grateful to be a part of it. And I don't think, you know, he's got much more going for him outside of like the Avengers movies. You know, he'd be a perfect person to throw in on the show like that.
Let's talk about what Aaron kind of squeaked out near the beginning of the podcast a little bit. They're just casting so many people for this Superman Batman movie. It's ridiculous. Before we get to the main course, because I know everybody's going to have a lot to say about the main announcement. But I wanted to get your thoughts on the announcement that Jeremy Irons has been cast as Alfred, replacing the guy with the size of a tangerine, Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
About
Sir Michael Caine.
Sir Michael Caine. My apologies. Of course, one third of the Sir Squad with Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. But yeah, thoughts, Aaron, on Jeremy Irons as Alfred.
I like it. You know, he's definitely not as foppish or upper crust as Michael Caine. I mean, you know, he definitely brings a different edge to him. But being that what we know from Batman, he'll be an older, more grizzled, just like, you know, pissed off the world kind of Batman. He'll need someone like that who's a little tougher and kind of kick him in the ass, you know, and get him going. So it's no complaints, man. Looking good.
Glenn, what are your thoughts on Jeremy Irons?
Oh yeah, Jeremy Irons is great. Good theater background, that kind of stuff. He kind of brings sort of the. Have you ever seen Kingdom of Heaven? I forget his name in that movie.
Yeah, me too. But it's a great movie.
He kind of brings that rah-rah part that he has in that, it'll be really good for the movie. Anything like that. I mean, he's been in Man in the Iron Mask, so he's good about being in an ensemble and supporting the hero.
And when I say Kingdom of Heaven is a great movie, I would like to stick an asterisk next to that. The director's cut. Thank you, Glenn. The director's cut of Kingdom of Heaven is excellent. The theatrical version, please avoid that at all costs. But
goes for Daredevil.
The director's cut. Cody, do you have any thoughts or feelings on Jeremy Irons?
I think it's a good call. I think he's a really good actor. I think with him being slightly younger, that he can probably, if it calls for it, get a little bit more involved, almost like a little bit more like, it's either Earth One or Earth Two Batman that Geoff Johns did, where Alfred's like former kind of an English spy or something. So it gets a little bit more involved and he kicks a little ass too.
I kind of like that idea a lot, actually. I think that's
a good idea. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that, you know, Batman would have a guy like that kind of running things from behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's actually a really good idea. I don't know. I've never really thought of that. I've always thought of Alfred as like
he becomes a butler. Right. He becomes a butler to like kind of go in hiding. Isn't that what it is? Something like that?
Something like that. Yeah, I'm not really sure. It's been a long time.
Not like hiding, but like he tries to like, he's not like escaping his old life, but leaving a much more simpler life than what he was. Because they hint at it in the animated series, too.
Yeah, I think it's just like his retirement plan, more or less.
Yeah.
That's a pretty shitty retirement plan.
Yeah, it's not high on the list of quality retirement plans, but I don't know. I like that idea a lot. I really dig that. I think they should totally do that. I don't know if they're going to do that, because obviously the role of Alfred in the movies anyway has been very clearly defined. So I don't know if they're going to turn that. But I don't know. The way the casting has been going on this movie, they're turning a lot of shit on its head. The big
or
news,
ass. I mean, you know, whatever.
Of course, the big news is that they announced Lex Luthor. It's not Bryan Cranston. It's not Joaquin Phoenix. It's actually The Social Network's Jesse Eisenberg, which simultaneously elicited a gigantic what the fuck all throughout the internet. And you know what? I don't know. I'm sure there are definitely some people that really dislike Jesse Eisenberg, but I want to say that I think that the what the fuck really came from the, not that we hate Jesse Eisenberg, we like Jesse Eisenberg, but why is he being cast as Lex Luthor? I think is what a lot of the confusion came from. Aaron, just dig in, sir. Grab a shovel.
it's like you said, you know, I like the guy. I like his movies. You know, he's been great in, you know, every movie I've seen of his. He's just not right for Lex Luthor. I mean, my only thought is maybe there was a typo in the statement the studio put out, and they meant Jimmy Olsen instead of Lex Luthor.
Maybe.
Like some really bad autocorrect mishap. And, you know, it'll all be clarified on Monday or something. I mean, it's just I the guy just can't be like the sinister kind of like, oh, my God. Yeah, it's just, oh,
he
I don't know.
Be,
man, it
he,
just,
he can be an asshole for sure. I mean, we saw his.
Oh, Mark's, of course.
We saw Zuckerberg, obviously. But Zuckerberg wasn't exactly menacing per se, but. Glenn, I know you're a huge DC guy, as well. And, it's, are they just, you know, is Jesse Eisenberg going to, you know, pull out a performance that we haven't seen from him yet? Or are they just going to, or do you think they're just going to try to reinvent the character?
I'm going to get on my soapbox real quick.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to stand up here for a while and I apologize.
Stomp, stomp. He's up there, folks.
He has the narcissistic attitude to get it done.
Right.
And I do enjoy Jesse Eisenberg. I'm not going to say he's a good actor because he's just like Michael Cera, and the fact that he only plays himself. Okay. I would say you see The Social Network, and it's just him. He's just he maybe has a little bit more sarcastic tone to him, mm-hmm. but it's still him.
Yeah.
And the thing about Lex Luthor is you need to believe that the guy wants to go up against Superman. You see him, and he's not imposing. Not that Lex Luthor's, you know, like physically imposing, and in some alterations he is in good shape and that kind of stuff. But you need to believe that this man can go up against an alien super being, and you don't get that from him.
Yeah,
and,
that's his chosen enemy is the strongest person alive who might be a little immortal. You know, you're not. Yeah, Jesse Eisenberg is not the guy to go toe to toe with this guy.
And it's just, you know. I don't know what they're doing, and it's some of the same problems I have with Man of Steel. Like, they get all these people from different backgrounds, and yeah, you know, a movie like Guardians of the Galaxy, that works because of the tone. You know what the tone's going to be from the comics. It's going to be, you know, raunchy, it's going to be fun, it's going to be zany. And so you expect that kind of difference.
Right.
And something like, you know, Man of Steel or even DCU or anything in the comics, they always try to have a darker, more serious tone. And sometimes it is to a fault. If you're going to do that, you can't just throw around all these people that, yeah, they're talented, but they're talented in different ways.
Right.
And they're building this cast of – it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Agreed.
And it's not an issue like – you know, people – you know, he's like, oh, Heath Ledger, you know, he gave out performance. Well, we still saw Heath Ledger in movies where he was good. He at least brought something different.
Diverse is what you're looking for, I think.
Yeah, right. He wasn't diverse. He wasn't the same guy in The Patriot as he was in
Brokeback
Night's
Mountain.
Tale. He wasn't the same guy in Night's Tale, Brokeback Mountain, or Lords of Dogtown. Like he at least was a little bit like John Malkovich and kind of, you know, tiptoed his way around certain roles. Eisenberg is the same thing. And I just feel like it's just like anything Zack Snyder does. It's all about style, and there's almost zero substance behind what he does. Mm-hmm. And it just I don't know why they're doing this. If they want, it really just bothers me. Like, this whole thing has just gone to shit because they're trying to play catch up. And if you're trying to hurry things because you want to get the dollars and you're afraid Marvel's going to steal it, well, you're just going to lose. So, I'm done.
Cody, you're Cody, you're a DC guy too, man. Where are you sitting on this, sir?
I don't think they could have picked a worse person. Like everyone said, he's enjoyable enough in his other movies, mm-hmm. but he's just. I would never associate. I don't want to sound. God, this is so frustrating. He's completely the opposite of what you would think when you picture Lex Luthor. I mean,
he's kind of a little bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean,
Lex he's
Luthor's,
whiny, not imposing.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor's smart, and he's.
Yeah, I mean, Jesse Eisenberg can do that. I know what you're going for. Lex Luthor always had a vibe of, you know, imposing a little bit. Like, Lex Luthor could never, you know, beat Superman in a fight or whatever. But you know, he wouldn't get broken in half in 2 seconds either. But
he's arrogant enough to put on,
right,
like a Lex Luthor Corp robot suit and try to fight him.
Right.
I don't think Jesse Eisenberg just isn't close to a good enough fit for that character.
Maybe Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor will steal the suit from two twins he went to college with, and then he'll fight Superman.
They'll sue like, him I over could believe it. That. Yeah. If you were gonna create Super Suit, you would have created Super Suit.
Right.
Yeah. I part of me thinks that they might just try to reinvent the character a little bit, maybe change who the character is a little bit, which obviously is also a ballsy thing to do these days.
They're starting to get a little too small, though, with this shit. You know, they had a great thing going, well, I mean, at least in most of our opinions, with Man of Steel, and they're really, God, they're just really, I don't know what the fuck they're doing, man.
Well, as I was watching this this real fun video from Screen Junkies on YouTube where they were talking about, I think they were jokingly talking about how to fix Marvel movies because, you know, what's to fix or whatever, but.
Exactly.
They did eventually start talking about how, you know, Glenn made the point. Right now, DC is definitely playing catch up. And one of the comedians on there was fucking hilarious talking about this. He's like, of course they're playing catch up. Look at what they're doing right now. Marvel right now is in so comfortable a spot. They're making a movie about a fucking CG raccoon and DC can't get a Wonder Woman thing made yet. You know what I mean? Like they're in two completely different galaxies right now, quite literally. You know, Marvel just got on it first and DC did not find their movie identity. I think you could still argue easily that they still haven't found it yet. You know, I think they feel like they got on the right foot with Man of Steel, but you know that's still a long ways away. I mean, and obviously it was a box office success as well. And Aaron would argue, and I'm sure others would argue as well, that it was also, you know, a pretty good movie. But I don't know if it would, you know, I don't know if it was their Iron Man per se.
No, they're still waiting on that.
Where Iron Man really just came out of the blue and was just holy shit! It made a ton of money and it was tremendous and it caught everyone's attention and you know. And while I think Man of Steel was, you know, was well done and good enough, I know Glenn still has a lot of issues with that film. I think that they think they're on the right foot, like they've taken a step in the right direction, but they are still rapidly trying to play catch up. And the fact that they are just cobbling together such a, you know, a big cast, and you know, we're not even talking about the rumored names and the, you know, the potential extra people in the movie. You know, it really does feel like. They're like, well, shit, we need to throw something out there. And it's got to be huge. It can't be, you know, just a sequel to a movie. We need to catch up to Marvel. It really does feel like they're literally doing that. I'm not throwing any hate towards Jesse Eisenberg. I mean, you know, Glenn, however, is correct so far. Everything I've seen him in is basically a variation on a character. You know, his social network, Mark Zuckerberg, was just a snarkier version of his you know, Zombieland character. The character he played in What Now You See Me was essentially Mark Zuckerberg. I don't, Glenn, did you see Now You See Me, the magic movie?
No, because like you said, I saw the trailer and I was like, oh yeah, he's that Zuckerberg with magic.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he essentially played the same character, and he is very, very good at it. And he's not as annoying, like say, who did you mention, Glenn, as akin to?
Oh, like Michael Cera. He just plays the same guy in every movie, and it's not a diss on him. It's just that's what they are, and that's
he's
you know,
slightly less annoying version of Michael Cera. I mean, not to say annoying.
Goddamn, Michael Cera. Oh,
I like Michael Cera in Scott Pilgrim though. So
I'd like him in a casket. He's just fucking terrible.
I like Eisenberg a lot. Again, it's tough to be like wait and see because you get so many preconceived notions coming into your mind of like, oh, I can see, and Glenn's right. That's what I'm feeling like. They're trying to be like, who's every big name, slick, on the edge actor right now that every, you know, who are all the buzzword actors out there right now? And let's put them all into this movie and then hope it really works, style over substance. I don't think it's going to be as much as like, say, Sucker Punch was, which was essentially just, you know, a 2-hour long
music video.
Yeah. A compilation of cool looking visual effects. But you know, I have liked past Snyder movies. So, I don't know, but it definitely is. At least, I don't know. Hey guys, at least they got people to stop talking about Ben Affleck as Batman. maybe that's what this move was. It was damage control. It's like, we got to stop people talking about Batman.
Well, if this didn't work, I'm sure they were going to cast LaBeouf as Doomsday. So,
oh, no.
Really complete the shit sandwich.
LaBeouf's going to be Joker, you guys.
I will say this, though. Go ahead. I remain hopeful with this movie, with it being Zack Snyder, just because he did a really good job with The Watchmen. Big characters. Like, he handled that really well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could argue that he basically, for his script, he just opened up the comic book and shot it frame for frame, panel for panel.
Well, right. A lot of that had to do with Alan Moore, too. I mean, the guy had a lot of creative control over the movie, so maybe he was really involved with keeping Zack Snyder in check. I mean, you know, look at Zack Snyder's track record. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, he's got some hits, and then he gets some big misses sometime. I mean, I love how he handled Watchmen, and the director's cut is even better.
The ultimate cut?
The ultimate cut with the animated
it's
piece.
It's got like Tales from the Black Freighter and everything in
Tales
it.
Tales of
like
Black
4
Freighter.
Hours long.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really good.
And even if you don't watch that version and just watch the director's cut without the Black Freighter stuff in it, it's still tremendous. I mean, Black Freighter is also amazing. The animation they did for that is fantastic. But, you know, even if you just watch the director's cut version, it's tremendous. I even like the theatrical version. I like that movie a lot, but let's talk about what is on the website this week. Not much. It's a slow month, everybody, but there are a couple of things. Glenn finally got his review for Her up on the website, which is a shame because we talked on the last podcast about her thoughts on the movie.
A lot.
We already talked about her thoughts on the movie, and short answer is Glenn liked the movie, and he believes that the ending of the movie signifies the start of Skynet.
Yep.
So there you go. I don't think nobody else may be reading into it like that, which is why we have Glenn on the staff, because personally, I didn't really think about it until you mentioned it, and I'm like, holy shit, you're right. All those OSs just
now,
went off.
Now I got to see this fucking movie.
You really have to read into it at the end, but it does kind of make sense when you think about it. And then, of course, we tossed up the trailer, the Red Band trailer, for A Million Ways to Die in the West. Did you guys watch the trailer?
Yes. Oh yeah,
Aaron. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, it was just kind of like the trailer for Ted with Seth MacFarlane. You know, pretty much, you know, most of the big laughs in the movie are going to be in the trailer, but you still really want to fucking see it just for like all the rest of the ridiculous shit that's going to be seen. You know, Ted was great, love it. It's one of my favorite movies. Just to kind of put in, just sit back and not think about. And just kind of giggle like a 5-year-old for an hour and a half too. So I think this one will be the same way.
Cody, did you check out the trailer?
Yes.
What did you think, sir?
I think it looks good. I think it looks funny. I hope people don't hold it like compare it to Blazing Saddles as like the Western comedy movie.
Right.
But yeah, I think it looks good. It looks funny. It's got some good actors in it. for a comedy, you know, so.
Yeah, I'm
hopeful.
Glenn, as the only person on the podcast closest enough to be considered living in the Wild West, what were your thoughts on the accuracy of this trailer?
Well, I mean, I feel like we have more guns now than they did then.
Probably.
Just the nature of the beast that is the state, the greatest country in the United States, Texas.
Yeah.
But now I really hope it's better than what it looks like. If it really is just, I mean, it is in the title, A Million Ways to Die. If it really is just like a bunch of people getting killed in a bunch of weird ways,
mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't enjoy it as much. Like he talked about Blazing Saddles. You know, that movie works in so many ways because it doesn't just focus on one thing. It kind of goes here and there and enjoys, like, the Western genre in general. I hope it kind of goes more that route. Kind of like the underlying thing of Anchorman was – or Anchorman 2 was about, you know, what happened to cable news and what, you know, what these news networks are now. If it can kind of, you know, at least have a little bit of thought, I think it could be a lot better. But, I mean, it looks funny. But, I mean, like you said, it's McFarlane. You know what you're going to get, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, here's where I'm standing on this. It's a couple of things. First, I believe this is like, you know, the dick and fart jokes trailer to reel in people like from the get-go. Because I remember watching the Ted trailers and they were essentially that. It was like Ted making a whole bunch of sexual jokes and shit.
The Thunder Buddy song about five times.
The Thunder Buddy song and all that stuff to kind of, you know, to reel in people. But when I actually watched Ted, there was definitely, I mean, I'm not going to pretend like this is a fucking cinematic masterpiece, but there was definitely a lot more to it.
It's the Citizen Kane of stuffed teddy bear movies.
Yes, it is, sir.
The best teddy bear movie since Saving Private Ryan.
But there was definitely
some of Michael Madsen's best work have been in like his TMZ videos. Cannot get enough of those.
But there is definitely a lot more to Ted than, you know, the raunchy trailers and stuff. There were definitely layers in the movie that made it much more enjoyable than just a dick and fart comedy or whatever. You know, it's in the vein of the Judd Apatow, Kevin Smith comedies where there's, you know, all sorts of like raunchy humor and stuff, but there's also heart in the movie and things like that. And there's bigger, overarching, less comedically themed plots or whatever. And I'm guessing that is what you will also find in this movie. And second, I don't think anybody would ever, because personally, I don't think anything's ever going to touch Blazing Saddles ever. For me, that's like my definitive comedy. That's my favorite comedy ever. But that being said, this movie kind of, it did give me, it wasn't just the Old West vibe, like Cody was mentioning, where it made him think of Blazing Saddles, but it definitely did give me kind of like a Mel Brooks feeling, you know, where it's like the movie definitely takes place in that period, but almost everybody in the movie acts like it's 2014, essentially, where it's, they kind of ignore the period that they're in, which kind of adds to the, you know, the comedic value or whatever, so... I'm looking forward to it. I'm pretty sure it's going to be much more than what the trailer is leading on. I really think it was just the, you know, the hook to get, you know, all the people that want to see the dick and fart stuff right away. So, that's all that's on the website this week. As again, slow months, everybody.
Well, I didn't have a chance to put up a lot of this stuff, but there's just a couple little minor things that are starting to come to light now.
Sure.
It's looking more and more like The Rock will be starring as Jon Stewart, Green Lantern, in Batman vs. Superman.
Good God.
Like, they're saying he'll have a slight cameo on that just to set it up, and then, the bigger expansion in the Justice League, so...
I'm fine with cameos. I'm fine with cameos.
Well, he tweeted a picture of him and a buddy of his who has some sort of a role in production, like some sort of capacity. He's a producer or something like that. And the hashtag he put on there was Jon Stewart can still whoop Superman's ass, like on it. And it was like, you know, The Rock all, you know, veiny and insinuate. So, I mean, it's looking more and more like he is going to be playing Jon Stewart. Also, Zachary Quinto is going to star in the latest, iteration of the Hitman movie from based on the video game. He's signed on a star taking over for Timothy Oliphant in that one. And pre-production has begun on Batman versus Superman. The Supes, the K-Bill has been spotted, and Tony and I's home state of Michigan, so he is currently here.
By the way, there's
too, by the way.
there's so many. There's so you're not living.
I thought
here right
you
now.
Were. Yeah, I thought you weren't living here right now.
He's in the.
No, I don't live there right now. I'll be back this summer though.
Oh, okay.
It's still his home state, Aaron.
Right.
The by the way, with the Superman versus Batman cameo thing, if they all come true, there's so many cameos at this point. There's just going to be a scene where it's like Green Lantern's going to walk, hey, and Stephen Amell's going to walk by. It's like, oh, hey, how you doing? You know, they're just literally going to fucking parade them like a train. There's just going to be one scene where there's a bunch of cameos. Like they walk into a bar and there's like all of Justice League just sitting in there or whatever, just to fit them all into the movie and not take up a bunch of time.
Well, it'd be cool if they did that with like the Watchtower, like the movie ends with them joint making the Justice League, and they just open up the doors in the Watchtower, and they're all just sitting around that table.
They can't be eating shawarma, but they can be eating something else. They have to get a food for this group of superheroes. That'll be the next thing, Aaron. Is what's going to be the official post fight food of the Justice League? Son of a bitch. There's We got some other stuff to discuss as far as box office and Blu-ray stuff go. But there is one question in the mailbag that I wanted to crack open for this week because it's the only decent question we've gotten in a while.
Take that, viewers.
Take that, listeners of the podcast. I mean, most
if you guys didn't suck so much, we'd have better podcasts. How about that?
Most of the stuff I've gotten, by the way, you can contribute to the mailbag by sending emails to info@cinemageekly.com. We've neglected to mention that the last couple of podcasts, but throwing that all
follow us on Twitter, you fucking assholes.
Throwing that all, Glenn is none of us are having any luck with that, Aaron. It's not just you.
I'm gonna make it private and just tell them no, you can't follow me, and just deny everyone.
Yeah, I mean they can't miss you until you're gone, so
that's right.
The most of the stuff I've been getting lately is, you know, comments more or less, and they're not really questions. They're just like, you know, good job, I like the show, and stuff like that, which, you know, is nice and very much appreciated. And I respond to everybody who sends something. No trolls.
Man.
Which I gotta say, I'm pretty psyched. The last troll we got was that that nice young lady who dissed yours and I's best of lists.
I don't think I heard that.
Especially mine for including. I think it was because we included Star Trek Into Darkness on our lists, and it especially hit mine hard. She was in the crowd of it's a they just fucking ripped off Wrath of Khan. She's in that crowd. And thought it was a not a superior film. And was saddened to learn that it was on her list. But she did actually comment about how she liked that this is a show where we heavily diversify, where we're going to talk about, you know, Dallas Buyers Club, and we talk about Iron Man 3, like in the same show. She was a fan.
Did she give us her potential top five just so we knew what kind of movie she likes?
No, no, she didn't. She just said that she liked Glenn's list. So
obviously that was Glenn's mom.
I don't have a mom.
Now you feel bad, Aaron.
No, I don't.
I have a mommy. Thank you very much. No.
You have two dads then, or what?
I had her too. Boom.
There we go.
Got it.
I do have two dads, but sausage. I also have a mother.
It's a sausage party here on the Cinema Geekly podcast, everybody. We actually got an email from Aaron. In Michigan, in Durand, Michigan.
It's like shit.
So no, your email is still. You're like, did I drunk email you some night?
I was honestly starting to scroll through my phone, like, oh damn it, what did I do?
We've discussed more than once actually on the podcast in the past, but I don't really blame anybody who hasn't gone back and listened to the other nearly 60 episodes of the podcast
they're gold
to seek out. There are definitely some good ones in there for sure. but since Glenn is relatively new to the podcast and so is Cody, I figure this is a good enough time to bring this debate back up again. He wants to know when we think media as we consume it now will go all digital, like permanently. How long until everything goes digital? No more discs and shit like that. Aaron, were you around when we've had these discussions in the past?
No, this is, that's a new one to me too.
New to Aaron as well. Okay. All right. So, I mean, when do you foresee this sort of thing happening? When do you see us going all digital?
Is that to me?
Oh, sure, Aaron, sure.
No. I'm just going to sit here like, I don't know.
Yeah,
let's see what these other guys say first.
Aaron, you. I'm going to you, sir.
Like including like print and everything, like everything will just be streamed, kind of deal, like no hard copy anything.
I think he's, you know, I mean, I think in general, but I think he's probably specifically more referencing, you know, television and movies or whatever. But
oh, I don't think that'll ever happen.
No? Okay.
Nope. At least not in any of our lifetimes.
Yeah, box sets, collector's editions, that kind of stuff. They're always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How much are they going to convince me to spend $200 on movies I already own plus a shitty little statue?
Cody, do you see it happening anytime soon? Digital, all digital happening anytime soon?
No, I don't think completely all digital. I mean, they might come up with a new way to have some sort of a hard copy, like other than DVD or Blu-ray.
Right, right.
But I think there will always be some tangible thing that you can go to a store and buy.
Right. I think that's got to be the case. This has always been my theory, because delivering your content all digitally is there's a prerequisite to all of that being, you know, connection to the internet. And right now, the thing that physical media has over the internet is access to a place to purchase your physical media. There is no, you know, prerequisite. Even if you don't own a car, you know, chances are there's probably places within walking distance, depending on where you live, you know, where it does not cost you anything to go into a store to then purchase, you know, your movie or TV show. Whereas right now, if you want to buy, you know, Game of Thrones digitally, you also have to be paying for, you know, your internet connection to begin with. I think until you live in a world where the internet is as freely available as, say, walking into a Best Buy or something like that, you're always, you know, digital content is always going to have, you know, that problem. And obviously also the problem of your, you know, your library as well. If you have to pay for the internet, you know, what happens to your digital content the day you can't afford your internet connection anymore? You know, all of that stuff that you have stored in the cloud, you know, is that now disappeared? You have, you know, you still technically own it, but you can't access it anymore. You know,
right.
I can't imagine the kind of shit fit people would throw if they're, entire movie collection was no longer available to them because they can't afford to pay for the internet anymore. Well, you know, if I don't have the internet at home, I can still watch my Avengers Blu-ray by just popping it in with no internet access required. You know, obviously for stuff like music, where it has pretty much almost become entirely digital, obviously you can still go buy CDs and stuff, but I haven't bought a CD in a decade just because music downloads so quickly. I've done it with video games as well, just for the convenience. I do it with video games because the trade-in on, you know, video games is so it's so diminished. Like you barely get anything back for a used game unless you buy
the
game.
Just don't trade them in.
Right. And then I've got them, like, you know, right now if I open my shelf, I've got like MLB The Show 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012. They're just sitting in there because I'm not going to, you know, I guess I could trade them back and get like, you know, 50 cents each for them now because nobody's going to buy those copies of those games, which is why I've just decided, you know, screw it. I'm just going to buy it digitally instead and it won't take up any space because I will play a video game. But after a while, you've, you know, done all there is to do in that video game. And some games don't have as great a replay value as, say, a movie does or something like that. And the trade-in value is terrible. So I just prefer to download games digitally for as, you know, as much space as I can hold or whatever. But with movies and TV shows, like I said, yeah, I don't think we're going to see 100% digital turnover until, you know, until something like the internet is free, until that happens. I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Well, no, since that law got passed, so, you know.
No. Since,
You mean Obamacare?
No, net neutrality.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Yeah, where Verizon, you know, basically, like, yeah, we can charge companies to, you know, use the internet. Oh, well, that fucking sucks.
Well, right. So. I think what a lot of people are looking at it as is, like, it would still be on the net neutrality issue. I think it would still be illegal for you know, Verizon or whoever to favor one company over another, like a competitor or something like that, and slow their websites down or whatever. I think, but they are saying that companies like Netflix or Amazon or whatever can pay Verizon to get their services put on a faster speed. Can I, you know, so you can pay a little bit extra and you can get the faster speed shit with Netflix. So your Netflix works better, your Amazon, you know, moves faster and blah, 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 blah. But that still sucks for a lot of websites that can't compete in that market. A lot of people are like, the sky's not falling yet, but they're kind of opening the door for it to start falling. So I don't know, that'll be something to keep an eye on for sure. Nobody actually emailed about that, but that's definitely like a big, that's definitely going to be a big issue about how content is being distributed online. And by the way, fair warning to everybody, the next release of Netflix, nobody has an excuse anymore. They're releasing the final season of Breaking Bad on Netflix in a week or so. So everyone should be able to watch this show from start to finish and catch up on all of it. And also House of Cards season 2 is coming out February 14th. Yep. As well. So I know Glenn and I are going to definitely be watching that show. Let me see here. Hey, Amazon.com. They rule. They give us some money every time you spend money on Amazon.com. If you use the Amazon link posted very conveniently for you at the Cinema Geekly website on the right-hand side of the page, 8 to 10% of your purchase, no matter how big or small, gets kicked back to us here at the Cinema Geekly. And as it so happens, you guys, I have some Blu-ray movies that are coming out that people could possibly buy and maybe fill their collection while giving us some money to keep the podcast free for everybody. And the website on the interwebs as well, and pay for that bandwidth and shit. There's a bunch of movies coming out, but I think...
give us like the worst and like the best.
The worst movie on this list?
Yep.
Let me see here. I don't know. I haven't seen all of these, but let me see here. We've got City of Angels. Any of you guys watch City of Angels?
Is it the Nicolas Cage movie?
With Nicolas Cage, indeed, sir. With the Google Doll. You know, that movie with the Google Doll song in it.
Oh, God, yeah, that movie. Jesus, how depressing is... Oh,
it's not. It hadn't come out on Blu-ray until just now, you guys, which is kind of surprising, actually.
Huh. Yeah, for all those of you who miss seeing an angel with pockmarks in his face, you know, at least now you get to see it up close.
Also,
I love you, Nicolas Cage. I take that back. I'm sorry.
Have you seen the trailer for the Left Behind movie, because you know he's going to be the main character in it now.
Oh man, dude,
it's something special.
Does he have like his Nicolas Cage like psychic movie hair?
Yeah, I think it's the same area as in Knowing.
Oh, I love it already! My God, I'm gonna go buy. I'm Fandango. I'll buy tickets immediately. Holy
okay.
Shit.
Here's the full rundown outside of City of Angels. We got Witchboard from Scream Factory. The White Queen from Anchor Bay, 2 weeks' notice from Warner Brothers is hitting the Blu-ray. Stop Loss from Paramount and Warner Brothers. Lots of Anchor Bay releases this week. Scorned is coming out on the Blu-ray. Mother of George from Oscilloscope Laboratories. By the way, first time I've ever heard of this production company ever, but fantastic name, Oscilloscope. Night of the Demons from 1988. Classic horror film coming out from Scream Factory. Animated Justice League War is coming out on Blu-ray from Warner Brothers.
Oh, God, yeah. You may want to check that out, because that'll be the basis for the Justice League movie they're doing.
You think so?
Guaranteed.
You know so. Okay. Interesting. Let me see what else is coming out. Jewels and Jim, the Criterion Collection, which means I've never heard of this movie, but Criterion means it's one of the greatest movies ever made, apparently. If it's Criterion, right? Right, Glenn?
RoboCop's in Criterion in the Criterion Collection, so
I buy that for a dollar.
They're not picky. They got some.
They do.
They know what they're doing. They really have some different. They got a variety of movies in there.
They should.
I never would.
The Criterion Selection Board is like the Zack Snyder of film selection. They just
try as they can. There's like RoboCop, and then right next to it is like all of Wes Anderson's movies, and like Chasing Amy. Like, it's like this kid. I don't know if he's like, I don't know. The kids, the people who does it has like ADHD, and there's like they just go down Netflix list like that movie. I don't care what stars it has, but we're that one.
It's probably some stoner who looks just like Tom Hiddleston as Thor. just like throwing darts at like different DVD cases. All right, fuck that.
RoboCop.
Yeah, hey, I just rewatched RoboCop for the first time the other day, and it holds up.
Oh, yeah, it's a bloody
yeah, oh,
fucking
yeah,
movie.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's fucking awesome. But...
The new movie guys, is not going to be
as bloody.
Have you guys
seen Peter Weller lately?
Oh, yeah.
Man, that's a man who has lived hard in his time, and I bet you he tells a lot of great stories because nobody looks like that who's been boring.
Glenn's going to meet him at the Sci-Fi Expo. So.
I'm going to see him next week, yeah.
The Inn of the Sixth Happiness.
You got to be sure to give RoboCop a set of the panties too, Glenn.
Of course. Free Birds, that animated flick about turkeys going back in time and stopping Thanksgiving, is coming out on Blu-ray. Death Wish is hitting the Blu-rays. Ooh,
nice.
I believe that's it's the 40th anniversary as well, Charles Bronson flick. Let me see, what else do we got? Cutie and the Boxer, A Case of You, About Time, and Dallas Buyers Club is the big release for the week on the Blu-ray. Getting all sorts of Oscar chit chat, so I'm sure that'll probably sell a copy or two come February the 4th. Box office stuff. The top five. Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit was number five. Did 9.1 million. Still meeting to mixed reactions, but it fell below the fresh threshold on Rotten Tomatoes, but it's, you know, still straddling. It's a 57% or something like that, which is better than I would have thought given its release time. Usually movies that do terrible, and it was not pre-screened for review either, which is normally like the double tap on movies like that. Like, they're going to be horribly reviewed, but it was not. It's been met with mostly positive reviews. Frozen was number four. Almost pulling in 10 million again. That movie's still doing pretty good considering how long ago it came out. The Nut Job, 12% on Rotten Tomatoes, is doing $12.1 million last week at the box office. Lone Survivor, 74% on Rotten Tomatoes, doing $12.9 million. And the number one movie was, of course, again, I believe this is the second week in a row, for Ride Along with Kevin Hart and Ice Cube. It did $21 million. And sitting at 17% on Rotten Tomatoes. Is that a surprise to you, Aaron?
Yeah, a little one. Wow. I mean, you know, good for them, but Jesus. I'm sure it's a funny movie, but it might be a little indicative that there's really not much else to see right now if you're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, it's good for them. They're making money while they can, but damn. I got to imagine if there was, you know, any sort of re-release the Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds like tomorrow, and I think it might sneak up and catch right along. I mean, because there's just no other options out there for anyone.
This is a rough movie weekend for people if you're going to go out and see what's opening up this weekend. Two wide release films this weekend. The first is Labor Day with Josh Brolin and Kate Winslet. That's the flick where Josh Brolin is the escaped convict. And,
it looks so stupid.
Hides out with Kate Winslet, who naturally, as does happen when a criminal on the run takes your family hostage, you know, she falls in love with them and they have a life together.
I love that part in the trailer though, where they redid that scene from Ghost, but it's with apple pie. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah. Oh my god, yes.
Really?
Oh yeah. I wish to God I was making that up.
It's all about like how she can love again and that kind of stuff. Oh my god, dude, it looks so fucking stupid.
The rest of this cast is so crazy. Also in this movie, Clark Gregg, the fantastic Clark Gregg. I'm sure he's great in this. The wonderful J.K. Simmons is also in this movie. And then of course the Dawson is in this film, James Vanderbeek, and of course
Beak is in it too.
Absolutely, and MTV Best Kiss winner Tobey Maguire is also in it. This is the cast for this movie. By the way, the reviews are in on this movie, and it's 32% out of 137.
Didn't I Frankenstein come out now too, or something?
I Frankenstein did come out. Glenn, did you end up going to see that? It came in at number six at the box office.
Oh, Jesus!
And fittingly so, as it stands at a whopping 6%.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
And that is out of 62 reviews, so it didn't even get widely reviewed either, but But for I, Frankenstein, it said loud, incoherent, and dramatically listless. I, Frankenstein is a remarkably dull fantasy adventure that fails to generate much excitement or interest in its characters. Glenn, did you end up going to see that?
No, I'm really upset I didn't get to go see it because because last weekend was my birthday, so I went down to Austin and hit up Sixth Street because they just have it's just a street of bars, and that got bumped out of the schedule, and I'll eventually see it, probably on Redbox, but I will watch that awful, awful movie.
It does seem like it's right down your alley, sir.
By the way, it looks so bad.
It can't be any worse than Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Or Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, but...
God, I just watched it. Holy shit, that movie is bad.
I can't
It's a popcorn. That's another one. You just sit down, you just unplug your brain, and just, you know, giggle like a moron.
He got diabetes because he had the candy or whatever, the sugar when he was a kid. Like, Jesus.
Wait, that's in the movie?
Yes! Or he has this shot and he puts it in, it's like, well, what's that for? He's like, well, I don't know, if I don't take it every couple hours, I could die. And it's like, oh shit, he's a diabetic because of the candy from when he was a kid. I mean, the movie opens with an MTV film project, and as soon as that happens, it's like, oh yeah, fuck it, I know where we're going.
You know,
just take me there.
By the way, just take me there, Hansel and Gretel. By the way, the Labor Day, the synopsis for the Labor Day thing, they say that Kate Winslet and Josh Brolin are actually good together. Like, they say they're compelling a pair in this movie, but...
They said the same thing about Josh Brolin and Will Smith. That's where I'm leaving that.
But they describe the plot as... I love this quote, too. They describe the plot as exceedingly ill-advised. I like that the plot is it's an exceedingly ill-advised plot.
Oh my god,
that's a great the other movie opening wide this weekend is That Awkward Moment with Zac Efron and Michael B. Jordan, and I'm trying to think if there's anybody else in this movie.
Is it awkward because they all go see Labor Day together?
Oh, maybe.
Is that the plot of that movie? They have to go see Labor Day?
It's definitely one of those, like, it's a guy movie. It's a girly movie for guys. You know what I mean? It's one of those movies. 23%
like
on
the
Rotten
Glorious Tomatoes. Bastards.
It's
how much?
23% on the Rotten Tomatoes with 96 reviews.
I'm sure that'll drop.
Formulaic and unfunny. That Awkward Moment wastes a charming cast on a contrived comedy that falls short of the date movies it seems to be trying to subvert. So there you go. So they're trying to subvert the date movie, the traditional date film, and in doing so, they actually fail and are worse than those movies. Well, that sucks.
Well, at least their plot wasn't ill-advised, though.
No, exceedingly ill-advised.
Exceedingly ill-advised.
I love that. That's my favorite description for anything now. I'm just going to use it. But yeah, I don't know. Zac Efron, is he a... He's not going to be the next LaBeouf, is he?
No, he's actually...
He did just get out of rehab.
He did, but, you know, it was just for being too good-looking. He didn't go for anything bad.
I mean...
He's met with the studio about... possibly playing the solo Offspring seems to be the leading rumor. Like, we know he's met with the studio about episode 7. Mm. And some insider resources are saying it was to play Anakin Solo.
Right. I mean, he was in Me and Orson Welles, and that movie did well. But yeah, he's been in a lot of shit so far.
A
lot. the High School Musical stuff, obviously. He was in the Lorax movie, which I don't think was good or bad, but it was somewhere in the middle. But he hasn't done anything that really
very preachy out. That movie, Jesus.
The Lorax film,
so preachy.
Well, you know what, Aaron? He did do a voice in Robot Chicken Star Wars Episode 3, so that could be foreshadowing.
Oh, it is.
There we go.
Oh,
he probably brought that with, used it for his audition. See, I could totally do this, guys.
But what he did, he set up a projector and he played it on his abs, just with his shirt up over his head. There you go. Check this out, ladies.
Boom.
Or he just brought all
all three of the new Star Wars movies. Like, look, you guys hired this guy. Yep. Right. Y'all hired Hayden Christensen. Why the fuck can't you hire me?
God, can you imagine how bad...
He didn't even have to bring the movies in. Hayden Christensen was probably a parking lot attendant on the studio that day.
I mean, can you imagine how terrible must the casting sessions have been for this? Because that would have been, if they were smart, that would have been everyone's play when they walk in. It's like everybody walks in with an 8x10 of Christensen, and they're just like, look, right. Cast this guy. Why, you know, you can't do any worse. Like, they don't even audition. They don't read the lines. They don't try to get into character. They're just like, here's proof of your past fuck-ups.
They just walk in, shout Hayden fucking Christensen, and slam the door. Just leave.
They're like, well, they were unable to narrow the field down at all because they all made such excellent points.
Oh my god! Oh,
I'm still looking forward. I'm still looking forward to that movie though. I'm very cautiously optimistic about all of the movies that I need to be cautiously optimistic about, and I'm all the other movies that I'm very optimistic about. I retain my high optimism for them, but I'm still cautiously optimistic about Batman versus Superman. I really don't want to prejudge it before I see it. Because, you know, you're always asking for trouble if you go into a movie assuming it's going to be absolutely shitty. At least I want to see some trailer footage or something like that first and get at least an idea of what they're going for. So, right. You know, everybody's still going to go see it anyway, regardless of what casting choices they make. They're going to be like, oh, fucking Eisenberg and fucking Ben Affleck. And they're going to be, you know, in their...
Eisenberg.
Will they shave the head?
Should have been Heisenberg.
That just rolls
off
the tongue. Yeah.
That's a point though. Would you have wanted to see? Because basically, what I came to realize is that I didn't want Bryan Cranston to play Lex Luthor. I wanted Bryan Cranston to be called Lex Luthor, but to just play Walter White.
I wanted him to play Jim Gordon.
He would have been a good Jim Gordon too. Yeah,
I think to me, honestly, Billy Zane is the perfect fucking guy to play Lex Luthor.
I like Billy Zane, too,
He'd be older enough. We know he can play a real asshole. The dude's got range. I mean, he could definitely... I think he would nail it.
Well, they've already... Well, Glenn, they've already finished shooting the second season of House of Cards, so I see no reason why Kevin Spacey just can't reprise his role. You?
Oh, my God.
Wrong!
Well, that's probably...
He needs to play different things. He needs to stay away from that genre. Stick to American Beauty and House of Cards, Kevin Spacey. You're awesome. You're great. Fantastic actor. Just don't
usual
do superhero
suspects. He could do Usual Suspects also, yeah, but just stay the far away. Stay far away.
This is where we nip the podcast in the bud. For everything that... Everything that we've talked about this week on the show, you can check it out at the central hub of Cinema Geekly, cinemageekly.com. And from there, feel free to branch out to all of our social media connected websites, Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, and Tumblr, all at Cinema Geekly. And of course, if you feel like contributing to the mailbag, info@cinemageekly.com is the address for that. Of course, Cinema Geekly merch. It's at the top of the page. Click on that, cafepress.com/CinemaGeekly, and go buy Karen Gillan a pair of buy her a Cinema Geekly thong or something like that.
And RoboCop. You guys better get on that shit hot, because once these things go wide on Amy Pond and RoboCop, like, you know, they may be out for a long time, so order your underwear soon.
Absolutely, of course. And as it relates to your podcast listening pleasures, three different ways you can check out the podcast. We're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher Radio, and we're on the TuneIn Radio app. Just search for Cinema Geekly in all of those cases. And of course, Aaron will beat the shit out of you personally if you do not rate and review the podcast on Stitcher and iTunes. That always helps us out when people go searching for the podcast. The more love you give us, the easier they make it for people to find us. So please feel free to do that, and of course,
yeah,
save yourself an ass kicking.
Motherfuckers.
Save yourself an ass kicking from the Prophet of Geek.
Boom. They don't give a shit. All 13 of them that that follow it get treated on the daily.
There you go.
My golden nuggets of hilarity. The rest of these people could just suck the darkest part of my crack.
And on that note. For Cody Kelly, Glenn Beauvais, and Aaron De Los, I'm Anthony Lewis. We'll see you next week on the Cinema Geekly Podcast. This episode of the Cinema Geekly Podcast is brought to you by HostGator.com. If you're interested in looking for your own personal website, business website, starting your own blog, HostGator is the place to go, with web hosting plans starting as low as $7.16 a month. HostGator offers tons of disk space and bandwidth, 24/7 support, all based in the United States, instant backups of your website, 99.9% uptime guarantee, easy to use, easy to set up. Get a domain name with HostGator.com and start your website today. And use the coupon code CinemaGeekly for 25% off of your first order.
Like an over-under bet or a money line going on in Vegas of, like, if Bieber gets AIDS, who's it from?
I think in order to make sure the AIDS really takes, he needs to go back to, like, the very first monkey or whatever gave it to people the first time. Like, that should be ground zero.
We got to make sure it sticks, yeah.
For the Bieber AIDS, yeah. I mean, I want his face to melt, like, the instant his little peener touches monkey gine.
So we need to find the monkey that first gave man AIDS, but
yes.
It's also the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes, essentially. So. Just bright light white everywhere. Weird German men screaming.